Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We've got a good one for you coming up today because last night was Game 6 of the 2020 World Series. Of course, we were all hoping for a Game 7, but the baseball gods didn't want to let us have that in 2020. So the World Series ended in 6 games. Trey's pick was correct. The Los Angeles Dodgers defeat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-2 in the 2020 World Series. And Trey and I are going to break it down today. Trey, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. And this Game 6 comes down to one sequence where the Rays try to use the formula they've had all year, and it comes back to bite them. So it looks like analytics fail in this World Series and ultimately costs the Rays a chance at a Game 7.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are blaming the analytics and using this game to kind of make analytics a scapegoat for a lot of stuff and use it to say that analytics do not belong in the game of baseball. They have their place, but you got to have the right mix of using the numbers and just going with what you feel and what you see on the field, because that works. Both of them work. They have their place. You got to have the right mix. We'll get into that specific scenario that Trey mentioned in a little bit, but let's start off talking about what happened at the beginning of this game, because this was such a long and wild game that I think most people have forgotten that this game started off with a home run by Randy Arozarena that gave the Rays a 1-0 lead.
His 10th. I mean, that guy, incredible postseason. Granted, there were, for him, 2 extra games, but the fact he hit 10 double-digit home runs to set the record as a rookie is incredible. And honestly, it's probably going to go down as one of the most, like, underrated best playoff performances, because they did lose the World Series and no one's really going to talk about it. You're also going to talk about how great Corey Seager was this postseason as well, and that's going to be underrated.
Yeah, Arozarena, like you said, 10 home runs in the postseason, 3 in the World Series. Fantastic playoffs from him. Some people were saying he should have been the World Series MVP even if the Rays lost, which, you know, I mean, he did play very well, but of course the MVP goes to the winning team. But a fantastic series by Arozarena, 3 home runs in the 6-game series against the Dodgers. After that, it was really a pitcher's duel the rest of the game until the bottom of the 6th inning. So neither team could get any offense going. Blake Snell was doing really well on the mound. He lasted 5 1/3 innings pitched, gave up just 1 run on 2 hits, didn't walk anybody, and struck out 9 batters in his outing. But it's the point where he came out of the game that things turned for the Rays. It was in.
Hey,
the
Matt, before we go into that part, I have a question for you. So I tweeted this out. I thought the Dodgers should have started Walker Buehler in Game 6. I still believe that, even though they won and their bullpen kind of did really, 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 really well, all things considered. But in my mindset, it's Game 6. You don't want to go to a Game 7. If you're the Dodgers, you want to do everything to end it there and you're done. Despite them winning, do you think Walker Buehler should have gotten the ball in Game 6?
No, I think saving him for Game 7 was the right move. That way, if it goes to Game 7, you have your best guy on the mound. Luckily for the Dodgers, they didn't have to put him out there. They didn't have to go to a Game 7. But if they did, they would have been prepared. They would have had their best pitcher on the mound ready to win that game. That's just my opinion on it.
I think you want to end it as soon as possible if you're in a series. And so you get rid of Chance. You throw Walker Buehler out there. But it worked out for the Dodgers. So that's why I'm not a manager in Major League Baseball.
So getting back to what happened in this game, like I said, pitcher's duel for the middle innings. We get to the bottom of the 6th. Blake Snell, he had pitched 5 1/3 innings. one run on two hits, struck out nine batters. And then in the bottom of the sixth, he gets AJ Pollock to pop out to the second baseman. Austin Barnes singles on a line drive to center field. So a one-out single by Barnes. And the Rays pull Snell. They take him out of the game. And then after that, Mookie Betts comes up. He doubles. And then Corey Seager reaches on a fielder's choice. Barnes scored on a wild pitch. And Betts scored on that fielder's choice by Seager. So the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the sixth, right after the Rays pulled Blake Snell out of the game.
I mean, this is what the Rays have done all year, and it's worked. I think they've lost, what, two games? I don't know. They haven't lost a game after when having a lead after the seventh inning, and they do it through their bullpen, which is really good. But John Smoltz brought up a good point on the broadcast where it's like, well, in this expedited postseason when you have less off days and it's condensed and your bullpen's getting used more, it makes it – it strains it a little bit, and I think that's kind of what happened here. You should have kept Blake Snell on the mound. I think that was a time where you throw analytics out of the book because it's win or go home, and that's your best arm out there. I mean, he's a Cy Young winner for a reason, and he was literally just shutting down the best lineup in baseball, and it kind of it was the spark that the Dodgers needed, and you give – that lineup a chance, and I talked about it all series, and when we previewed this, I said, you have to be perfect four times against the Los Angeles Dodgers to win. And plain and simple, that was the mistake that led to everything. And they brought out Nick Anderson, who's had an up-and-down postseason, and it ultimately cost them a shot at Game 7.
So Snell comes out of the game. The Dodgers get two runs in the bottom of the sixth inning. Nothing happens in the seventh. We go to the eighth. Top of the Rays order, Arozarena lines out, Hunter Renfroe grounds out, and Brandon Lau strikes out swinging. So the Rays go down in order in the top of the eighth. And I kind of felt like that was their last real shot to get any offense because that was the top of their order. And we know this Rays team is good, but they're not really known for their offense. So if you can't get your top guys going in a clutch situation, then I kind of knew it was over for Tampa Bay at that point.
They're the Baltimore Ravens of Major League Baseball in terms of they're really good. They're really good at getting a lead and keeping it and playing their style. The Baltimore Ravens struggle when you get down by 10 or more points or they have to come back. It's the same thing with the Tampa Bay Rays. And it's worked. It's what had them immense success in the regular season, and so they had the lead in the sixth, so they were 9 outs away from going to a game seven. So it was working. It's just sometimes you got to play a gut play, and it didn't work there. I hope you like my reference because you are a Baltimore Ravens fan.
I'd have to agree with that based on the Ravens football that I've watched over the past couple seasons. That is an accurate statement. So in the bottom of the eighth, Dodgers come up to the plate. Leadoff batters Mookie Betts, and he hits a solo home run to center field. It makes it 3-1 in favor of the Dodgers. That was the only offense they got in the bottom of the eighth. Top of the ninth, final three outs for the Rays. And it's Julio Urias still on the mound for the Dodgers. Manuel Margot flies out to Mookie Betts. There's one out. Mike Brasso is caught out on strikes. And then Willy Adames caught out on three straight strikes to end the game. And the Dodgers are World Series champions for the first time since the 1988 season. They've waited 32 years for this coveted championship. So many players on this team, namely Clayton Kershaw, that have been around a long time trying to get that World Series championship. They've been there twice. Couldn't get it done, but they finally get it here in 2020, defeating the Rays 4-2. I mean, what a series. I don't even know what else to say. Even though it didn't go 7 games, it was a very exciting and crazy series at times, especially that ending to game 4 the other night. But it just a wild series, great games all around, really happy for the Dodgers, even though they beat the Braves in the NLCS. I hated them for a couple of days there, but I'm really happy for them now because they are such a good and such a storied team that for them to go 32 years without winning, I mean, it's surprising that they can go that long without getting a championship. And I really, really like Clayton Kershaw. He's one of my favorite players of all time, future Hall of Famer, and I'm just really happy that he finally gets that championship.
Best pitcher of his generation finally got a ring. I mean, obviously, Justin Verlander enters that conversation, but for me, I think Kershaw is the best. I mean, this guy is still on, is still at the top. I wouldn't say the top of this game because he doesn't have his stuff as much, but he's now getting that phase kind of where Verlander was, where they got craftier with their pitching and still were towards the top of the league. And so it felt good. It was similar to the Verlander where the best pitcher of the generation, which is probably Clayton Kershaw when we look back, gets his ring. And I think the Dodgers have been there for the last 5 years. I mean, they're clearly were the best team in the National League. You probably could argue in that five-year run were the best team in baseball, just in terms of World Series appearances and always being there. So it was time. And I think the good part for baseball, the best team won it all in this weird postseason format and this weird 60-game season. And you can't put an asterisk on it because coming in, everyone said, all right, the Dodgers were the best team. And they played 60 games. Who had the best record? The Los Angeles Dodgers. They had a weird postseason format with an extra round. Who won it all? The Dodgers. So I think it proved, like, it still proved the best team will win in the end. And the best team was the Los Angeles Dodgers. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, their lineup was ridiculous. And it was – they had a great pitching staff. And they still – I mean, who are they going to lose next year? That's the crazier part. And so we'll see. They're gonna retool, and they're going to be right back where they were with one of the historically great lineups.
Yeah, everything about this team, the lineup, the pitching, the bullpen, it was all there this year. They finally had all the pieces to get it done. And you're right, you can't put an asterisk on this season because even in spring training, before everything got shut down, everyone said that the Dodgers were the best team coming into this season, coming into spring training. And so it's no surprise that they had the best record in the shortened 60-game season. It's no surprise that they were able to make this run through the postseason. It is interesting that in this, and I think I pointed this out when the season started, in this strange, crazy postseason with so many extra teams, a three-game series to begin the postseason, it's crazy that the two best teams, the one seed from the AL and the one seed from the NL, each make it to the World Series. And it's crazy that the best team in the league ends up winning the World Series in the largest postseason that MLB has ever had, where anything can happen. Any team could lose in that first round three-game series. The best team in baseball, the team with the best regular season record, ended up winning the World Series. I think that's great. It shows that they really were the best team all year.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone brought this up. I was listening to the radio, and they said every team had the same scenario, 60 games and the same playoff format. It's not like one team had this and the other team had that. And I think that also, like, you can't put an asterisk on it. And people say this. I think you could argue you put an asterisk on it because it could be harder because you had spring training completely stopped. A restart of spring training. You're away from your family for the whole season. You're isolated. You have to go through testing. You have to wear a mask. You have to follow all these precautions just to play a game. You get sick. You could get tested positive, be asymptomatic, and out for 2 weeks. Or you get sick. And you're playing – I mean, some teams played, what, like 20 games in like 19 days or are constantly playing doubleheaders. Then you go to this playoff format. Well, you got to win two of three in the first round. Then you're in your traditional playoff format. You're in a bubble. You're not playing at your home stadium in the postseason. Like, we could go through a laundry list of how difficult it was to win this particular championship. And the best team won. It was the same thing in the NBA. Both teams happened to be from Los Angeles. In the end of the day, the best team in both the regular season and the postseason won the title. And you can't put an asterisk on it.
It's funny you point out that the NBA and MLB, both champions, are from Los Angeles, because either way, there was going to be one city that was really happy this year, the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the NHL championship. They could have had two champions in Tampa this year, but ultimately it's Los Angeles that ends up with two champions this season. So that is what happened in the game last night. A very exciting game. Sad for the Tampa Bay Rays. I really do like a lot of their players. They are young, and Randy Arozarena, he's only a rookie, so he'll obviously have a long career ahead of him, and I'm really, really excited to watch him next season.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, they got to be feeling really bad that they let him go.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, one more thing came out of this game, Matt. Obviously, so the first ever I know of. So you text me this, and maybe I just didn't notice because the last run, I believe, was a solo shot from Justin Turner.
It was Mookie Betts.
No, it was Mookie Betts. Yeah. Mookie hit the home run. But Justin Turner got pulled mid-game for apparently testing positive for the coronavirus COVID-19. So what happened is his test yesterday came back inconclusive. So they retook it and they got the results and they pulled Justin Turner out. Well, I think the bigger headline is he was asymptomatic. He felt great. Should preface it that, but he was out there celebrating the World Series title. How do you feel about that?
Well, I didn't see him out on the field. I think they isolated him after they found out his test was positive. But I don't know if you were watching the post game of the World Series, but it was just strange. I mean, they get the final out. They do a quick on-field interview with Mookie Betts. Then they go to break, and they come back from commercial, and it goes to a studio shot of Kevin Burkhardt, and he says, "Welcome back to Fox post-game coverage of the World Series. Some breaking news real quick. Justin Turner was pulled mid-game because he received a positive coronavirus test. Now we go back out to the field." And it was just such a strange, like, shocking way to come back from commercial. And then they just go right out, start showing the field again, and players on the field, masks, some being worn, some not. Their families out there, their wives and kids out on the field celebrating with them. And it's like all season, MLB has been so strict and so stringent with their COVID regulations. You know, one player gets a test, that entire team is shut down. And then here, the final night of the season, they get a positive test mid-game, and they still let Turner had been in the dugout, in the clubhouse. He'd been around his teammates all day, and they still let everybody go out on the field, celebrate, hug, yell, laugh, cry, whatever you do when you celebrate a World Series. The masks are not really being enforced. I mean, some people had them on, some people didn't, and they're hugging their wives and kids. They're hugging each other. It was just a wild scene, and I just have a lot of questions about the whole thing. One, how do they not get a test result until mid-game? How do they let the game continue when they find out, oh, this guy who is in the game around the players is positive? How do they let the players' families come on the field? Like, I just don't know. I just don't understand how any of this was allowed to happen. And it's just so crazy that, you know, MLB had gone almost 2 months without a positive test. The World Series is over. Everyone's relieved. The season's over. They don't have to worry about their COVID regulations anymore. And then news comes out that there's one last positive test right as the World Series ends. Just such a 2020 thing to happen.
Yeah, I think you tied it on a bow perfectly, but I will say this. I think because the first test was inconclusive, and then the second test was positive, to me, this seems very, because you would have to think he couldn't have gotten it from any player. So this means either Justin Turner broke protocol or somehow got it from a fan at the game. Like, that's the only way he could. So my hope is it's a false positive, because I'm very, like, it's kind of a mixed emotion, because this is the biggest night in Justin Turner's life, other than probably his kids and his wedding day. Like, in his professional life, this is his biggest night. He's winning the World Series. You would want him out there. Like,
yeah,
like, and the kid in me who thought I would want to win the World Series would want to be out there. So I get that side of it. I just don't think it has a good look to it. Like, it doesn't at all. Like, and now I'm, like, you read different tweets, the timeline's all mixed up, and how it's being performed. Like, I think if it comes out today that it was a false positive on Justin Turner, I would not be shocked because they were in a bubble and it makes complete sense. I think it does kind of put a perfect bow on the 2020 season to have a positive test on Justin Turner at the end. The optics of this does not look great if you're of where MLB stood on COVID protocols this year. I'm definitely like just right in the middle of this. Like, I'm like, I really wish Justin Turner could celebrate, but I also am like, I'm very uneasy about the look of how things were because of the protocols and how we're still in a global pandemic. So like, it's definitely like, if you're out there and saying he never should have celebrated, like, why did he? I think that's dumb because like, the guy doesn't know, like, he just heard he tested positive, but his focus is, man, I just won the World Series. Like, I don't care. And maybe that's kind of what happened. It was just a moment of like euphoria where we won the World Series, and that kind of the protocols and the thought of that got thrown out the window. So a mistake happened. And I think in those kind of moments, you kind of can give an excuse compared to something during the regular season where a mistake would happen, because winning the World Series is something that, especially for that Dodgers team, they know might only happen once, because they've been there plenty of times and have lost. And I think they finally getting over that hurdle, it kind of changed. And so I'm trying to, I guess, justify what they did, whereas it does not look good at all. And do I wish it happened? Probably not. But do I could see why it happened in this exact scenario? Yes.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I really hope it is a false positive. And it seems, I mean, I don't know how he would have gotten COVID if he's in the bubble. You know, they're all getting tested. If he's the only positive test, then that would mean something's a little off. He broke protocol or something strange happened. So I really do hope it is a false positive. We're just going to have to wait and see. I'm sure he'll continue getting tested and try to receive a negative result here. And we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But you're right, it is a bad look. Rob Manfred, after this news came out and they were doing all the post-game celebrations and giving the awards, he was standing there without a mask. And it's like, all right, you are the main guy in Major League Baseball. You are in charge. You just had a positive test and you're not wearing a mask.
You have more faith in Rob Manfred than me. Also, shout out to the Dodgers owner for giving that long, lengthy speech. Some people did not like it, including Stephen A. Smith. But also, shout out to Magic Johnson, who now won a World Series. So he's a World Series champion, you know, and one of the group, like, five best basketball players ever. So, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people would be happy.
Magic had a good year. He helped bring LeBron to LA, and LeBron won a title with the Lakers, and now he, you know, part of the Dodgers ownership.
A lot of people to be happy for in this Dodgers organization. I mean, obviously I'm a huge Braves fan, but I don't mind the Dodgers. I really didn't like them. I was really mad at them after they beat the Braves in the NLCS, but I really don't mind them. They are a historic team. And so to see them get a championship after trying for so long, it really is cool to see it happen. And I'm happy, like I said, happy for Clayton Kershaw because he's an all-time great pitcher. He needed that championship. I saw this on Twitter. I forget who it was, so I feel bad. I won't be able to give credit. It might have been MLB Stats. They said that with the Dodgers championship now, every pitcher that has won three Cy Young Awards now has a World Series championship. Clayton Kershaw was the last one.
Yeah, it was well deserving for a guy who's really, he has the baggage of bad postseason performances, but you could argue this was his best postseason. I mean, the guy was pretty great, and he was in the running for World Series MVP. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I think this was definitely a statement postseason for Clayton Kershaw on just, you know, trying to seal the deal in his Hall of Fame career. And I think he goes in that category of one of the greatest pitchers of all time with his World Series championship, because he belongs in there, because this guy's been the best pitcher, I mean, really for the last decade, it felt like.
Yeah, definitely.
At least in the conversation.
Yeah. And I don't know if we've mentioned this, but we have to. Corey Seager won the MVP award, the World Series MVP, batted 400.
Postseason, so I sorted it.
All right, yeah. Batted 400 in the series, 8 for 20 in the six-game series, 2 home runs, 5 RBIs, a 556 on-base percentage. Fantastic six-game series by Corey Seager. A great series by all of the Dodgers. The Rays deserve a lot of praise also for taking the Dodgers to six games. Would have been more exciting if we got a seven-game series, but six was still good, still exciting. A couple of crazy games, crazy finishes. That game four finish was just amazing. That's going to go down in history as one of the best endings to a baseball game of all time. Just a great series all around, and I am sad that the 2020 MLB season is over. There is no more baseball now, and honestly, we don't know when baseball is going to return in 2021, given the state of the world and everything going on. It might not start on time next year. I think that's a very real possibility. And so now we just have to wait and see where things go. And a lot of things are going to be different this offseason. The winter meetings are probably all going to be virtual. You know, we get to February, March next year, we might not be able to have regular spring training. And by the time the opening day rolls around, might not be able to have regular opening day for the 2021 MLB season. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens this offseason. It's going to be very strange, and it is just a little concerning and a little sad that we don't really know when baseball will return. Hopefully, it will return on time for next season, but just given the way everything's going, who knows when we'll get opening day in 2021.
I think we'll be on time. I don't know. It looks like basketball starting like December 22nd. Granted, their season went a little later, but baseball – relatively kept it on track. Maybe spring training will be a little bit later this year, but I think you're kind of right. We don't know what could happen, but you can only hope for the best. I'm hoping that we get baseball on time and we get a full season. I will say, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but it looks like the National League's going back to no DH. And at this point, I think I was sold on the NL having a DH after this year. So, looks like baseball is, you know, trying to be baseball again and stay in the old times. So we'll see what happens with what they take from this season and certain rules they used, whether it be the extra innings rule or playoff format or even the DH.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting to see how things change going forward if we get a regular MLB season next year. Trey, we might have to do a full season recap episode here in the next couple of days. Maybe if you know any Dodgers or Rays fans, get them on, let them talk about the series, how they feel about it, how excited they are, or if they're a Rays fan, how sad they are. So that is going to do it for today's episode of Foul Ball Area. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Dodgers 2020 World Series champions. Trey, this was fun. I hope you have a good day at work, and we will catch up again soon. Maybe do another season recap.
Sounds good.
For Trey Lyle, I'm Matthew Atkins. Thank you all for listening to Foul Ball Area. Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.